Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Mickey's headed to the Maldives, Bridget's headed toward Cheating Town, and it's a Sullivan family affair. Stay tuned as we discuss Ray Donovan, Season 7, Episodes 3 and 4.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey everybody, I'm Rachel Goodman, and we're here to discuss another week of Ray Donovan, Episodes 3 and 4. We're going to start with episode 3, Family Photos, and then go into 4. But tuning in with me, we have Erica.
What's up, party people?
So before we dive into, I just want to let you guys know that if you stick through until the end, we also have our news segment as well as our crazy crime segment, which is going to be pretty interesting and a lot to do with pasta this week. And then we'll have our predictions. But before we dive in, Erica, what were your overall thoughts about 3 and 4?
They were good. I think they kept up a good pace. I don't know. I mean, I feel like Ray is a little, I don't know. He's kind of boring. Not boring, but he's just kind of like really one tone, I think, on both episodes, honestly. It's like, okay, I don't know. You know, I feel like he needs a fruit smoothie or something. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it's a drama, but there have to be moments of some sort of lightness. And I guess maybe with Mickey coming back or whatever, it seems like the only time he kind of is calm or kind of is, he almost seems depressed, really, to be honest. But there were a few little light moments with him. I think, like, when he was with the therapist or, so we'll see.
So my thing with Ray is that we definitely saw more of his low moments these last two episodes, and more like what you were saying, where he kind of just was one note, especially compared with episode 2, I think it was, where he was, you know, drinking a lot more and just kind of like very manic-y because of everything going on with Mickey. But I think what I especially liked in these last two episodes was that we got more with Bridget and we got more with the characters around him. And I really loved how Bridget stepped up. And even though she was still asking for his approval, we still saw her really take things into her own. So I was pretty, that was pretty interesting to me. We actually have someone in the chat too. Hey, Susan Russo. She's actually, she follows me on the Young and the Restless After Buzz show. So good to see
you. That is great.
So she's here. Hey.
Well, one day I will have a follower who follows me. But yay, happy to have you.
Yes. Thanks for tuning in. Okay. So the first thing we get is that obviously Mickey's alive, and we get this whole thing with him where we're watching Ray, like, it was like the light bulb went off in his head. They were already going to try and blame the murders of the cops on Mickey, even when they really thought he was dead. But now Mickey's here, which makes his job even easier.
Right.
Yeah. So it was interesting watching him. Like, they were almost having a father-son bonding moment. What did you think about all of that?
It was cool. I mean, I think it was interesting because I think Ray realized that he did have some sort of feelings about Mickey's death, which were sort of revealed in the therapy session to some extent. And even though he was just very monotone and just one note the whole time he was with Mickey, I think Mickey knew, or, you know what I'm saying, for him to even punch him like that. Like, Mickey knows that there was something going on with him, too, because, like, that's his dad and he knows him. So it was interesting to see them kind of work together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of funny.
And I think what was interesting to me, too, is when we saw, while Ray was still with Mickey, we saw Ferrardi call him, and we saw the way that basically Ferrardi wanted Ray to not only, like, now Ray has taken the pictures of Sullivan. Not only that, now he wants him, Ferrardi wants Ray to actually find a child who's going to step up and say that it was him.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a little... so we were kind of getting a lot with Ferrari. And, like, even though Ray didn't show much, I felt like that was kind of crossing the line for him.
I don't know. I honestly think had... I think the character's name, Jessica. Is that her name? Let me know if I'm wrong. I'm sorry, Susan, if I'm not, if I am. But I think when Jessica came to him and, you know, said the thing about Bridget and, you know, let them realize.
Molly
Sullivan. Then I think he would have had, what's his name? I don't know. I think he would have had, I can't remember the dead cop's Mick, whatever. I think he would have had his son do it. So I don't think that crossed the line for him, really. I think the only thing that brought him back, really, was the discussions about Bridget.
Yeah. I definitely think that was the major part of it. I don't even know. So with, when Molly eventually shows up to Ray, I wasn't even sure if Ray necessarily believed her, but I think he almost wondered if she just knew how to, like, just seeing the picture and seeing that little girl. Like, I for a second I was wondering if Molly was lying and if she really was that little girl, but then we also had Mickey, who confirmed it, who actually said, Sullivan, I recognize that name. And it's interesting that we're tying this all back to season one as well, with the father, Jim Sullivan. But it's just, I kind of thought that once Molly actually showed up and gave the picture like this, I wasn't 100% certain if I could trust her.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we know for sure if we can necessarily trust her, but I think that what she said was probably true, or, you know, clearly, I mean, you know, Bridget was her babysitter, so I think all the facts were true. Whether Bridget actually said that, she probably did, you know, but it was interesting, you know, it was an interesting play. But, you know, I mean, it is true, and she was her babysitter, so it is a card to use if your brother's being blackmailed. So,
see, I thought at first that maybe it wasn't her, the little girl in that picture, and that she was somehow trying, like, she got the picture somehow. And even though, we knew that the Sullivans were connected, so I buy it. I was just, like, kind of at first wondering, how much can we actually believe this? And then what she said that Bridget, the sister, said about Ray being the best person she knew. Ray even said it didn't sound like Bridget.
Right, yeah. So that's, yeah, I definitely, I'm like, you know, 50-50, maybe she may or may not have said that. But I think once she brought the picture, it was like, oh, okay. Because I think, there's been a lot of episodes or whatever, a lot of seasons, I should say. But definitely when they first went in there, Kevin Sullivan was definitely like, do you know who my father is? So they have been dropping hints to Ray all along as to we those Sullivans.
Yeah.
We just, you know, like, I didn't pick it up because I didn't remember. And obviously Ray didn't really remember either. But Mickey did because he's better than both of us. But so once she said that. So at that point, I think the relationships were all, you know, true and so easily verifiable. So I never doubted the relationships. Once she showed the picture, I was like, oh, okay, now I get where they're going. Whether Bridget really said that, who knows? Like, she may, I'm like 50-50 on that, but it almost like doesn't matter because it's like clearly she had a close tie to Bridget and, you know, and that is going to be a big thing, you know, anyway. So it's like, okay, maybe, you know, maybe she said, oh, my brother's a jerk. Who knows? Because this was like before all of the craziness came in their lives. So I think she might be making that up. We don't think we know. But I think the tight bond is really enough to be like, look, yeah, we really do have history. So can you not screw us? You know, so
I almost feel like, too, just the fact that, like, obviously, Ray has at times tried to avoid his past in Boston, but there are other times where, like now, with Molly coming into the picture, I almost feel like he's in a place where he's obviously been lonely, he's obviously missed Abby, and I feel like she might, in some kind of level, I think that she might remind him a little bit of Abby, too, and the more positive aspects of his youth.
Right.
And so I feel like this is, like, it just watching their chemistry on screen to me, I felt more strongly about it than, not counting Abby, of course, but I felt that this chemistry that he has with Molly was the strongest of any, you know, female I've seen come on as, like, a girlfriend.
Well, I mean, I think, I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's actually had a girlfriend because I think he was either married or he had like a mistress or just sort of random hookup people that he was kind of like working with or for, so, or doing stuff for. So he hasn't really had anyone where he, you know, so far since Abby passed, where he was officially dating, because anybody else, they were just somebody he was seeing on the side from Abby, right? So we haven't seen him in that spot so far. And, you know, maybe because of his work or because of whatever, that's how he's been with women. So it'll be interesting to see, because I think, you know, always it was sort of like people he was kind of like he met her, like either he was protecting them or he had to do something for them or he was hired to do something and then he hooked up with them. Or it was sort of like a one night thing. So it'll be interesting to see kind of where it goes.
We'll say side girlfriend then when he was with Abby. But this whole thing is that when now, like, he literally, there is no one he's really hooking up with at this point that we know of. And she really could be, you know, a girlfriend that he's actually committed to.
Right.
And that's, like, to me, I really think that that might be really good for him, but it might mean less drama for us or more, depending upon...
Yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, like, I think we need to see more, because I just feel like the way she came into it and considering who her father is, she probably is a broken person. Yeah. So it's probably, there's probably something with her that, you know, depending on how many episodes we have, will be revealed. But clearly, if she, I mean, even kind of the way she's sort of coming at him and trying, because she was already kind of halfway trying to make a connection, but then she's still trying to get this situation for her brother. So if she's kind of like, okay, here's a drink. Yeah, you know, we're good. Now I'm going to sleep. You know, something kind of up with her anyway, I'm pretty sure. So, but she seems nice and she's not, you know, she might not be like a murderer or anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it will be actually probably be interesting, because I'm sure she probably has some craziness with her. And obviously, as we see in episode 4, as Mickey spins out of control, then that would obviously put the Sullivans against the Donovans. So even if they do grow closer, it's always going to be a problem, because Jimmy Sullivan isn't going to accept Ray now that Mickey's back and, like, probably going crazy.
Yeah. And then the whole thing is that we've also got this external force with Ferrardi, and the fact that now Ray is kind of, you know, in this really, he's about to be in this really bad position again, which kind of reminded me of season 6, where he was making choices that were going against very powerful people. So now I'm even more scared for him, because I feel like there's no, like, you know, person, like, other powerful person who's kind of like in the background to really help him, unless something does happen with the Sullivans. But we'll touch on that a little bit more in episode 4.
Right, exactly.
So, all right. So we talked about Ray. Let's talk about everything going on with Bridget, because we had in this episode, this is where she ended up getting with Adam, the manager.
Right.
We don't know how far it went. We just saw them kissing. But in the scene after that, it looked like maybe he had some of his shirt unbuttoned. So I'm not sure if it was just kiss. I mean, probably was beyond kissing. Let's just be honest here. But
Well, now they slept together, right?
They implied it.
Well, no, because, well, you know, I mean, we'll be here for an hour, but spoiler alert, if you're not, you know, but you guys are going to stay for the whole 40 minutes. So she says when she goes to rescue them, like, it didn't happen or whatever. So, you know what I'm saying? So I don't feel like she would be like that if they didn't actually sleep together.
Well, yeah, I'm guessing they did, but they didn't actually show it. So we don't know how far they actually went. And the only thing is that the way that Adam was acting with her in the next episode was like, he, you know, obviously he had no regrets. But in this particular moment, we see that she has crossed the boundary, regardless of what that boundary
was. Yeah, and then also, too, I mean, you know, also personally, I assumed, even though they didn't show it, I feel like she had to have slept with him. Otherwise, why? That, to me, I feel like that's why she came back and was like, okay, yeah, I've been on my feet and I smell bad or whatever. Because I was like, yeah, because you smell like sex. Like,
see,
obviously.
I took it a little bit differently. I don't know. It could have been sex. It probably was sex. But I took it like it wasn't, even before anything happened with Adam, I feel like she was for a while not sleeping with Schmitty because,
because
she emotionally felt like she was cheating already. And so the thing is that when she sat down, I am thinking that she's coming from a perspective of, I feel guilty doing this. Like, even if they hadn't kissed or done anything, I'm getting the thought from him, from Schmitty, that it's been a while since they've had sex.
Absolutely, absolutely. No. I agree with all of that. Like, she wasn't going to sleep with Schmitty anyway.
Yeah.
But I feel like, to me, or at least the way I took it, was the line where she talks about how she's smelling. I felt like that was sort of in the writing to give us a clue, like, okay, she did actually have sex with him. Because a lot of times people just, you know, like if they're having an affair or whatever, they're just like, I have a headache or whatever. But it is kind of gross to, like, just have sex with somebody and then go lay up in the bed. Like, that's kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
So that's why I felt like it was this whole big scene about, oh, I smell, you know. But yeah, she was never going to sleep with him regardless. Because I think absolutely that she's already pulled away from him because she was attracted to Adam and she was kind of bored with Smitty anyway, for sure.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah, no, I see. I definitely see where you're coming from, too.
Yeah, like, I just feel like that particular line, the way they wrote it, just seemed like it was so almost like point on, really. Actually, it was almost too head on, really, to be honest. But it was so like, I was like, oh, okay, so since you didn't show us them doing the do, you're just going to say, okay, she like smells like sex and that's gross. So she's going to go take a quick little shower and then, you know, get back and have a headache. But yeah, so yeah, no, I totally agree with you. She, and you know, and Smitty, when he goes to Ray, you know, later on too, he does discuss, you know, some of their issues. So yeah, so clearly she's been pulling away for a minute. And then honestly, when we've been watching it, we have sort of assumed all along that they had been hooking up and we just hadn't really seen it. So I actually was kind of surprised that it was like, oh, okay. You know,
if we're to believe what she told Ray, though, nothing had officially happened.
Right. And well, maybe you believed it. I didn't believe that.
Yeah.
And then I felt like when Lena was there and she saw them together, it was like, okay, we have this chemistry because we've already hooked up, but we're playing it off. You know what I mean? Because we haven't really seen that much that was going on with her. So it's interesting to see that we, you know, that it's basically, it's just been this burning lust or whatever current between them and that she hadn't acted on it before, you know.
Yeah.
Theoretically, these seasons.
And
these
I have a feeling that it's never going to, we're always going to kind of beat around the bush with the two of them because I feel like that's the nature of the relationship. And that really, this whole thing, this whole situation with Bridget is just about her kind of, I mean, she's only 21. So I think it's just about her coming into her own and like what we see in episode 4, which we'll get to in a second here.
Yeah.
But I just feel like with Bridget, she has to kind of, she's going through a lot of growing pains right now as a young adult. And that part of that is deciding what she actually wants.
Very true.
So, all right, before we move into episode 4, let's just talk really quickly about Terry, because we're going to see a little bit more with him in 4. But really all we saw is that he ended up going with Liberty to see the shaman.
Right.
Yeah. So I just kind of wanted to mention that now because we have more to say with it later. And then Bunchy, we had this whole scene with him where he thought he was going to be viewed as a hero for that holdup. And then the boss called him in and was like, nope, we have to pull our lawyers and corporate in to see if we're actually going to sue you or not or fire you and or, you know, other consequences. So I felt so bad for him, especially the scene where he's calling Ryan, he's drunk. And
yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because we mentioned the last time we were here, which was a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, that Terry is showing these, you know, sort of character changes. But I feel like now with this whole incident, there are just some significant, I think we're going to see significant changes in Bunchy too, as far as like his reaction to this and how it's going to impact his personality kind of going forward. So he seems to be really depressed and kind of almost at a place where he's like almost, you know, lost now and kind of, you know, not kind of really pulling it together right now. So it'll be interesting to see kind of where he kind of ends up after this.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So let's jump into episode 4.
Okay. Well, before we do episode 4, I have something great to tell you guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning into AfterBuzz and making us the ESPN of TV talk, because without you guys, we wouldn't have the opportunity to do what we love, which is to talk and discuss and engage with you about all the TV shows that we love out here. And we're true fans. But what we really need you guys to do is to like and subscribe and give us a thumbs up if you're watching. watching right now, because like you're watching right now, so you might as well do it and listen to and check us out on SoundCloud, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts as well. And thank you guys so much for making all of this possible.
Awesome. Thank you. And yeah, definitely. Thank you guys for always supporting us. And
exactly. And comment. Yeah. Make some comments, Susan, or whoever's out there, if you're there now.
She's still here.
Yay. And if you're watching us after the live streaming, then definitely leave comments because we read them and respond.
Awesome. All right. Let's jump into episode 4, His Peas, which is kind of the only reason I'm kind of, I know obviously herpes, his peas. So.
Right.
All right. So let's just jump right back in. Let's talk about Terry first, since we kind of sort of ended with him and Bunchy. So Terry, what I found fascinating is that, speaking of, characters and like growing or kind of being stagnant, Terry, we saw him at such a low point that obviously he was not feeling the shaman. He was not feeling being in this group of people. He just kind of, like, we could just see that he was like, what is this? Where am I? Why? And he was just at a place in his life where he just wanted it all to end. And I thought that that was pretty tragic, seeing him grab the stones and walking into the river. It also reminded me of Ray.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was really sad. And, just a tough thing to see after all that Terry actually has been through and all of his struggles. So it was definitely really tough to see, for sure.
The only thing that with Terry is that I almost don't feel as bad for him as I would, considering that he went into the boxing ring and was fighting when he was warned not to, which has obviously triggered the shaking again. So part of me is like, well, I just kept thinking, you shouldn't have done the fighting. You shouldn't have done that. But I still do feel bad for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I still feel bad for him because I feel like Terry, doesn't have a family. He's never really been married. He was in love with Abby for all those years. And, it's interesting because he always seems to kind of run into these attractive women who, like, he thinks it's pity sex, but they really like him or whatever the situation is. But he's had a few, moments, but he's spent a lot of time, I think, alone or whatever. So it's like, I can see where, if boxing was the only thing that you were really good at, where you would go back, because he needs, everybody, I think, needs sort of a sense of purpose. And I think that now, so I don't really hold it against him that he went back, because he doesn't really, he was a trainer and he was training boxers and that was good, but I felt like he needed more. So yeah. I certainly understand his reasoning for going back, even though it put him in this position he's in now.
Yeah, I understand that, definitely. I just, when I think of it, it's like last season, I remember how, like, on edge I was watching that whole situation with him and just, the different fights that he
had. Yeah, I mean, the fights were horrific,
yeah,
for sure, but it's like, wow, it was tough.
And it was also tough watching his scene with Liberty, where they could have had sex, but it just wasn't, his body wasn't working the right way for him.
Yeah.
And I just, my heart broke for him in that moment, because he is obviously somebody who is trying to connect with anybody, and it's just not working for him in any way.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
So, all right. So we have the situation with Terry. It looked like he actually did go, though, near the end of the episode, after he one woman stopped him from drowning himself. So it looked like he was leaving.
Yeah, so I think it'll be interesting because she's, like, rich. So I think it'll be fun. I mean, I think it might be. I think it's going to be like a Mickey adventure, but we'll save it for predictions. But yeah, like, so she was basically sort of like a sign, perhaps, since, Mickey was talking about signs in the last episode, in this episode. So maybe, this was a sign, like, don't lose your life. There's a purpose. And so I really think it'll be interesting to see what this older woman brings to the story.
Susan has a couple more comments here. She says, so sad watching him put the stones in his pocket. It was hard for me to watch him fight again. She also says, loved seeing Daryl again. Okay, so that's a good time to segue here. Let's talk a little bit more about Mickey, because we had a lot going on with him in terms of the Sullivans and in terms of the safety deposit box.
Yeah.
I'm very happy that they're pulling back to season one and that we're going to see more of this, that we kind of left off with.
Right.
And I also especially loved, Mickey was in the Maldives. That's where Ray had sent him. But he comes back and we have a lot with Daryl in terms of, you know, he actually did hook up with.
Okay. And so this was my thing when I saw it. I have to go back. But I don't think he was in the Maldives, because I think we saw him get on the plane. But then when he called Sandy, he was wherever. And he was like, well, let's do this beach being thing. And she was like, I love it up there. And then she showed up there. And I know her crazy, goofy butt didn't go to the Maldives. So I don't think he ever went.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question.
He was like, oh, you know, whatever he heard, you know, he heard. It was almost like, because at first when I was like, wow, when they first showed it, because it was a lot of, you know, clearly openly gay couples or whatever. And I was like, huh, the Maldives, is this, you know, I haven't been or whatever. And if you remember, everybody, I forgot what, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't think, like, everybody sounded American. So I was just, like, very confused at first. And then when he called, and I still thought he was in the Maldives the whole time until he called Sandy. And she was like, okay. And she came up there.
Yeah.
So then that's when I was like, he never left.
Maybe. They did not specify. But it, from when I looked up the Maldives, I mean, it could have been any island for all we know, but when I did look up the Maldives, it did look similar.
Right, yeah, like it's definitely a beach. Like, you know, like I have, because I thought about going there. So, yeah, so I know that, but just the people seem very American, actually. Yeah. And then just to hear them talk, and then I was like, they don't sound like they're, you know, anywhere in Europe or whatever. So I was like, okay. And then really, basically, I didn't think anything until she showed up, because I was like, okay, well,
Yeah. I mean, for all we know, it was, you know, Mickey somehow managed to get her there. But I agree with you. It does seem kind of suspicious that she would get there so quickly.
Right.
We don't know, though. It could have just been the way that.
Well, but she also said, I love it. Where he said, oh, I'm in Rose Beach. And she said, I love it up there. So that to me, really, anything he had with her, like maybe he, I'm not saying he didn't go to the Maldives because we don't really know, but definitely when he talked to her on the phone, he was in the U.S. He was like maybe at like probably one of those Jersey Shore beaches or something, because I don't really know the area. But he was definitely on like an East Coast beach that she could have gotten to, because she was familiar with it when he mentioned it. And then clearly she showed up and like, yeah, you know, she's like definitely.
So I guess we'll
at least at that part. Yeah. Anyway, but go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. So in any case, it kind of all started with him where he wanted to scheme the people on, you know, wherever he was. We'll just say that. He wanted to scheme them with their B&Bs. Sandy shows up. And then we get this whole thing where Mickey ends up, well, Sandy ends up going to the vault and grabbing, you know, a couple. She goes into Jim Sullivan's vault.
Right.
Yeah. And I think what I found interesting about that was the maneuver that she did with Ray, where they did like a quick switcheroo, and then the guards caught her, but not Ray, and Ray was able to get out
with
what he needed.
Right. I found it very interesting that, it was interesting. I felt that he actually chose Sandy to do that, because I knew when she saw the gold, she was going to take it.
Yeah.
So I was like, why would he even send her? He already knows how she is. So, you know, so it's interesting that that was his choice, but, you know, so I think, you know, to me, it was just a little bit too, know, it's like, yeah, well, you know, she's really Mickey's person. So that, so, you know, I wasn't at all surprised kind of how that played out. But it was a funny choice. So, and I always love her. So she's hilarious. I like her a lot.
Now, to kind of go back a little bit, like before we get to this moment, we have everything with Ray, where he has 100% committed to helping Molly, and he ends up giving, we saw this in episode 3 actually, where he gives her the SIM card.
Right.
And we know that in episode 4, it's this whole thing where Ferrardi is very aware of, you know, what he's done, and he is completely, he's almost, we think, I thought that he, that Ray was going to be done, but it turned out where Ray, because he went into this box, he was able to provide the money that Ferrardi was asking for to kind of just let it go.
Well, yeah, I mean, because basically what happened was, you know, he went to Ferrardi, and Ferrardi, he was like, what's the number? Because I don't know who you are. He wrote it down. And really, it was really between Sullivan and Ferrardi, right? At the end of the day, Jim Sullivan. And, you know, he's like, okay, well, I need, this is where my money is. And it's really interesting because Ray was like, okay, I'll get it for you. And to know what that money also meant to their family and that he got it anyway, I think is also really interesting.
So let's talk about one more thing then, and we'll get to our segments. Let's just talk about the namesake for the episode and touch on what happened with everything with Bridget. I think what worried me the most is that we obviously saw that Hansen had herpes, and I was not sure how they were going to handle this.
Right.
What worried me, though, is Bridget bringing her husband to where Adam was, considering kind of what we had seen. But then what made it worse for me is when Bridget actually got there with Schmitty, Adam didn't even seem to necessarily care. Like, he wasn't doing anything exactly in front of her husband, but he was sort of, like, you know, tempting Bridget, and, like, he just seemed like he didn't want to hide it.
Right. Yeah, he definitely didn't. And I think it's probably, you know, I mean, I think it's probably going to become a problem, but yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely was kind of like, I don't care. Like, Smitty's not a threat, so.
Yeah. But I think what I found interesting is that whole thing with you know, covering him up and getting him out of there and switching Schmitty with Hansen. I felt like Bridget, this is where, like, I feel like she really is taking a stand and being more of her own adult and kind of stepping up into, like, what could be a major role for her to kind of, you know, be the next Ray Donovan.
Well, yeah, or I don't necessarily think she's stepping up to be the next Ray necessarily, but I think, you know, because she's kind of been all over the place with what she's, you know, what she's doing as far as a career. So I think really, honestly, she's going to step into Lena's position, and then that's what she's going to do. And then they're just going to be working together, assuming that the show continues. But yeah, that's what I think. She's kind of stepping up to say, okay, this is what Lena would do. And so this is what, you know, like, I'm going to make it work.
I felt like more she was trying to learn what he would do. You know, obviously she made the executive decisions, and she's the one who said, let's put out a press statement and, like, handle it that way once they got him out of there. But I kind of felt like she was starting to kind of, not that she is Ray Donovan, not that she's going to be for a while, but I felt like she's kind of, like, almost stepping up and, like, grooming herself so that she could one day do what he does.
Kind of, but the reason why I think I would say Lena is because, for the most part, Ray does the dirty work, and Lena kind of does things in a way that, like, okay, this is really what a public relations person does, and, you know, kind of pulls it together. So to me, I felt like the way she came at it was more similar to the way, wasn't as grimy as Ray. So that's where I kind of draw sort of a distinction in how she kind of, you know, like, kind of what she was dealing with and how she dealt with it. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that she's trying to show herself and to show Ray, like, you know, I can be like you and I can do this and I'm stepping up. So yeah. I definitely agree.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll definitely have to see what happens with her too.
Yes.
But for now, let's go ahead and jump to our news.
Before we go to news, right quick, if it's okay, I do think that one of the things that we didn't hit really quickly on, really, because I think it's going to go towards one of my predictions, is the whole thing with Daryl and his mother and kind of Mickey coming back into their lives and being like, this is your birthright, and the gold, and, you know, kind of dragging Daryl into this plan, and also the fact that Mickey revealed himself to Claudette, and that, and even from the beginning, I already felt from the beginning that Daryl telling Claudette that Mickey was still alive was going to be a problem. And I think kind of the way it ends, it definitely is. So, you know, I think there's a little bit of stuff going on with Daryl as well. So.
Awesome.
Sorry.
Okay, no, it's okay. Let's go ahead and jump to our news segment.
AfterBuzz TV.
Right, Erica, go ahead.
All right, you guys. So as we mentioned today, Lena is leaving. And for those of you who, you know, saw the previews on Showtime, she's going back to L.A. and she's going back to be on the revamp of the L Word as her character, Shane. Let's see, what's her character's name? Well, I don't have it on here, but yes, she's going back to the L Word. And so we'll see her in Cali, you know, and maybe she will. Maybe she does have love because I didn't watch the L Word. But now I might because I really am enjoying her. So yeah. It'll be great.
And they've been showing a lot of the previews as we've been watching Ray Donovan.
Exactly. So it's kind of like, you know, maybe there'll be like a L Word Ray Donovan crossover. Wouldn't that be fun? I think it would be great.
That would be amazing.
Yes.
All right. So let's go ahead and get to our weird crime segment. That's such a good clip.
I love this.
Okay, so as you see up on the screen, this week we're talking about pasta, and specifically the TLDR of this article is if in Italy, if you are selling any kind of pasta, you need to tell, you need to be able to reference where you're getting the pasta from. The problem is there are a lot of people who are making their own pasta from scratch and selling it. There are especially, the article references women in Italy working for private, like mom and pop Italian restaurants, and how this is really affecting them because, as you can see in the picture, they literally make the pasta from scratch, and they are now coming under fire for this because obviously they're not buying it from anywhere. They're not buying the actual pasta to serve it. They are literally making it from scratch. So that has been the big news the past like November is when they came under fire for this. So yeah, yeah, that found that pretty interesting. So
you can't just be like, oh, I made it downstairs?
No,
like,
you can't
just be like, this pasta came from this address.
So to read part of this from the actual article, I'll read a tiny paragraph here. According to the mayor's office, in mid-October, police inspectors busted a local restaurant for serving untraceable pasta, a violation of Italian and European Union regulations that require food in restaurants to be clearly sourced. The police fined the owner of the restaurant and forced him to trash 3 kilos of pasta, or about 7 pounds. Yeah. So
that is crazy.
And I find
that's
that interesting because I would think if you go to Italy, you're going to get, I mean, it's Italy. They're known for having really good pasta.
That's interesting. I mean, it seems like it's kind of like champagne or whatever that comes from France. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. It came from this part of France. Yeah. So it's, you know, So that's interesting. Yeah. Those Italians are very strict on those rules.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get to our predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. So, Erica, you had mentioned having a prediction around Daryl.
Yeah. Because just because of the writing or whatever. So I definitely feel like this last sort of hostage scheme situation with that Mickey is dragging him into, I do think that something's going to happen to Daryl. Like, I love Poochall or whatever. But I do feel like the mother saying, don't make me come for my student's funeral, it is going to be a problem. For him, like, maybe, you know, maybe by the end of the season, for sure, I think something is going to happen to Daryl. Maybe they won't kill him off or whatever, but I think, because I don't know, just the way she said that was, like, so dramatic. And then also, I feel like the way that they had Sandy, which I really thought was interesting, Sandy made all these calls to, you know, say that they saw somebody like Mickey or whatever because they were framing Mickey, but they clearly put Daryl in there with Mickey. So Daryl was already, the cops were already going to be on Daryl anyway. And, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's definitely going to cause a rift. There's definitely going to be a break between Daryl and his brothers because clearly they were willing to have him go down with Mickey. And, you know, and I think the mother, Claudette, knows it.
So. Yeah. I'm going to predict that Daryl is not going to take that job in California.
Well, yeah, no, because he got in the car with Mickey. Yeah. So I agree with you.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I mean, even throughout the rest of the season, I don't see him going back at all. I see him kind of going down. I see him being part of the Donovans, but I see that I don't necessarily think he's going to die, but he may end up getting the fall for something, for everything, or being indicted along with Mickey.
Right, exactly.
I'm thinking too is that they're going to find out that Mickey is not actually dead when they're doing the investigations. I think that Peterson is really going to come down on this. And we kind of saw this throughout episode 3 and 4, how she did not trust that this was done just by Mickey. And I also think that she is going to recognize that she's going to find out the truth. And I think she's onto all of them.
Exactly. And more. And I also think in the previews or whatever, which is part of the reason why I said that as well, is because Claudia calls the police. I think she's going to tell her that he's alive. And I think that it's going to be interesting because she's not going to embarrass herself in front of the cops. So she can't just be like, no, he's not dead. But I'm sure Claudia is going to tell her. Or if she's not going to tell her, she's definitely going to really put a wrench in their system. So I think it'll be interesting. I think the next episode will be really good.
Awesome. Well, Erica, where can everybody find you?
All right, you guys. I am Erica Edwards, and you can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, that's E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards.
And I'm Rachel Goodman. You guys can find me on Twitter at Rach Goodman or on Instagram on my author Instagram at Rachel Radner Author. If you are a fan of Man in the High Castle, I am also on the AfterBuzz panel for that coming up next. Until then, we'll see you guys next week.
Alrighty, ciao for now, folks.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.